This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right. Show as always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I'm only a 5-minute walk from the White House, so I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm feeling the bad vibes.
I see you survived the inauguration.
Oh, well, I flew in the day after, so saw all the MAGA people crowding the airport to get out of Washington, D.C.
I wonder.
So there are a lot of, at this Capitol Hilton, there are a lot of Make America Great shirts still on offer in the gift store.
I want to do this, Dr. Craig. You know, you put this Citizen Action post out on January 20th, Trump priorities pose stark contrast to MLK's vision of equality and opportunity for all people. And let me read a quick paragraph. As Donald Trump begins his second presidential term on Martin Luther King Day, the contrast between the two leaders couldn't be more stark. To highlight these differences, Citizen Action of Wisconsin is co-releasing with Healthcare America Now and America for Tax Fairness, a report on the consequences of Donald Trump's massive new round of proposed tax cuts for health care access. Trump and his fellow Republicans in Congress have made it their top priority to slash health care and other vital public services for working families, to fund trillions in tax cuts for the ultra wealthy and large corporations. You know, Dr. Craig, people talked about before the election what he was going to do. And here you clearly believe that he is going to follow through with cutting Medicare, Social Security, and planks that many people would have never thought would ever come under assault or under attack. You clearly believe that this is going to be happening.
Now, the thing that is most in the crosshairs of all those things are Medicaid. And Medicaid is Badger Care in the state of Wisconsin, for our healthcare public health coverage program, which is extremely popular, but also includes long-term care for seniors and people
right.
with disabilities, a number of other services.
A lifeline.
A huge percentage of the babies born in this country are born with Medicaid funding. So there's no coverage for the mother without it, because increasingly our extremely expensive healthcare system is unaffordable for people. As you have a job that provides you good healthcare, or you're Medicare eligible, or you're out of luck, I was going to say, or if you're poor, but of course this is what's under threat. So I just stepped out of a briefing from Capitol Hill staffers, Democratic Capitol Hill staffers, and about this, and they reaffirm that Medicaid is their number one target because they think they need it to fund the giant, making the Trump tax cuts permanent and adding to them, and adding another $5 trillion in debt in addition to slashing these vital programs. And so this is on the fast track. This is something they want to do by April. There's some dispute whether it'll be one bill or two bills. They'll do it through budget reconciliation, but they're talking early February, having budget instructions that guarantee massive cuts to Medicaid that'll throw millions of people off their health care. So we're talking about things such as a per capita cap. Now, what that would mean is that states will be limited to a certain amount of Medicaid money per person. It's a way of massively cutting Medicaid because they'll set it too low and then they'll never raise it. And so thing to understand about Medicaid and Badger Care in Wisconsin is it is a federal-state partnership program. So this in Wisconsin, the federal government pays 60% of the cost of Badger Care. So imagine if the states, if the federal government started paying 40% instead. What would be the cuts to Badger Care given our state budget process and the difficulty of funding education, funding our schools, et cetera? So just think about that state by state by state. The one thing to consider here also is that they have such tight margins. It doesn't take many Republican governors or many members of Congress who are Republican to get cold feet or feel they might lose their reelections over this and to prevent this from happening. And this is what happened when they tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act in 2017, the first early Trump administration. So we've seen, Earl, the shock and awe, right, where Trump is trying to show dominance by having the 100 executive orders. Remember, he was shock and awe at the beginning of the last term, and he got the one thing he did get done is these massive tax cuts, many of which sunset in the next year. And so trying to make those permanent and make them worse at a time when income inequality is greater than it has been since the 19th century in the United States.
Dr. Craig.
So we're going to give the people who are doing the best and they're taking most of the proceeds of our growth, give them even more and then take health care away from people.
If you're just joining us, it's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means I'm joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, who as we speak is on Capitol Hill and having conversations and dialogue about what's to come. Dr. Craig, I was reading where Elon Musk and Doge and where the bullseye is. They said $800 billion of spending that is being wasted, and they kind of use and misused by the poor. And so one of the things that they want to cut immediately, and they've already come up with a plan, is SNAP benefits. And other things, Dr. Craig, like health, like Medicare and Medicaid, and things that are lifelines for people. And many of the people who supported him are going to be devastated by these cuts, Dr. Craig, and they don't even know yet that they're coming.
This we can say that Donald Trump won the election, which he did. Notice I'll say it. I don't know if your right-wing callers will say that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, but there was not a mandate for this, Earl. Medicaid has approval ratings in the 70s. It's extremely popular. Major massive tax cuts for billionaires and for big corporations, profitable corporations, are not popular. In fact, there's overwhelming support in any poll you see for making the wealthy pay their fair share and making corporations pay their fair share. What they're testing is whether or not public opinion or what the public actually wants matters or not. They voted to lower their prices. They did not vote to take health care away, take long-term care away from my grandma or my cousin who has a disability, or children who happen to be born to modest income parents, right? Who can't get a job that's going to provide that the kind of healthcare that they need. And by the way, even those jobs that provide the healthcare still provide healthcare too expensive for a lot of people to use. So the problem's even broader than this. So this is sort of like with the Affordable Care Act. They were not elected in 2016 to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and that became clear and they couldn't do it. The same thing needs to happen this time, but people also need to know who's doing it. So you have two Democratic congressmen within your listening area of civic media, Earl, not Republican congressmen, who are in swing districts. Congressman Van Orden out in western Wisconsin, who is expected again to have a very tough reelect in 2026, and Congressman Stiles in the southeast corner of the state, who has the closest margin district, and realizes that if he had a strong candidate, he would be at risk too. So these would be very bad votes for them, right? And so it needs to be this. This is something where constituents speaking out, them getting phone calls, them getting a clear message. Really, listeners should call in and say, I do not want cuts to Medicaid. I do not want cuts to the Affordable Care Act in order to fund tax cuts for billionaires and large corporations, period.
You know,
they talk about saving money under DOGE. This isn't about saving money. When you talk about SNAP, Earl, you mentioned SNAP. SNAP isn't about saving money. SNAP is about making modest income families and kids go hungry. That's what cutting SNAP is about. And you would think that someone who is worth as much as Elon Musk would have a heart, but that's the problem we're facing. He apparently does not.
Did Donald Trump raise prescription drug prices? Donald Trump has, and people need to be made aware of these things, Dr. Craig. We were celebrating the fact that Joe Biden had fought these pharmaceutical companies, and we were looking at these changes that were going to make it easier for the elderly to be able to afford their prescription drugs. And now Donald Trump has done what? He's done away with that. President Donald Trump has been accused of raising prescription drug prices for seniors by immediately rescinding former President Joe Biden's executive order to lower costs after beginning to say he did this right away, Dr. Craig. And you'd have to, and people should ask, and the elderly should be asking, including those who voted for him, why did you do that?
Yeah, there was a $2 limit on copays for generic drugs in Medicare so that seniors could afford all of those generic drugs. It was by executive order. So this isn't everything. This isn't everything that was done in the Inflation Reduction Act that could come by April.
Right.
But why would you rescind that? Why would you say, oh, there should be no cap on what Medicare recipients have to pay for generic drugs as far as their copay? Well, because you care more about what pharma and the insurance industry wants than you care about the people who voted for you. It's stark and simple that he would put that in one of those executive orders. He's hoping it gets lost in all of the flashier executive orders that got more press coverage.
All right, 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. We'll continue the conversation on the other side.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is here. He's already there on Capitol Hill causing trouble. But Dr. Craig, this is Trump fires Coast Guard chief, first woman to lead branch of U.S. military. I mean, things, Dr. Craig, that he sat down and, you know, what would be the purpose of firing this woman, the first woman, again, And it's all I can think of, Dr. Craig, is DEI. He hates DEI. He and others don't want there to be diversity in our nation. And so one of the first executive orders was to do away with DEI. He's now suspended people who in the government represent DEI. He's pulled them off the jobs. They can stay home now. They're being paid right now, but he's dismantling all of those things, Dr. Craig, that kind of make America what it should be, and that's diversity.
Yeah, and the problem is we're in a fact-free zone when it comes to the Trump regime and the politics behind the Trump regime. And by the way, the Yale philosopher Jason Alexander argues that defines fascism as a political style, not as a structure of government. And so that's where you can see a lot of similarity. We don't know if what the outcome will be. But specifically, we don't know about the, I don't know, I've never heard of the Coast Guard person that he fired, right? And I don't think most people have. His side's going to believe she must be woke or she must
that's
be
what they said.
Some crazy
they
said pointy-haired DEI person.
They said she was woke.
Whether she is or not. I mean, it's sort of like she's red. She's a communist. We don't need any proof. It is very much in that old Joe McCarthy style. And the problem is there's no due process. There is no day in court. She is simply fired. And his side will believe that she should have been fired and say, hooray, red meat. It's sort of like when the fans of a failing sports franchise demand that the coach be fired, right? They want some red meat. And so it's ritualistic in that way. We have to be careful with DEI. You see, the voters did not, who understand DEI, did not vote on it either way, right? Because DEI makes diversity work better. It helps people come into majority non-diverse organizations and settings and be able to cope better. And so because we've had problems with turnover where we try to diversify things and then people don't feel it's a hospitable environment, right? It's what it tries to do, but voters aren't demanding DEI and they aren't, if they understand DEI, if they're not lied to about it, voting to get rid of DEI. So by raising to its defense, in some ways, we lose track of what are the big drivers of inequality, the big economic factors. It's the wealth gap. It's the income gap, right? It's the kind of the quality of education that middle class and upper middle class white kids are able to get versus working class black kids and brown kids, right? And the other challenges they face, to where they're redlined into communities that have more challenges, right? And they have less property tax money to pay for their schools and to pay for everything else. And so by jumping to the bait of DEI, we kind of make his point that somehow it was important and somehow it was radical when it's far from radical. All these Fortune 500 companies, which are the opposite of radical, they're the people trying to extract everything from the economy, have DEI programs because it helps them get a more diverse workforce that looks like their customers, right? Because it works.
Right.
When it's well done, they're failing DEI programs like they're failing governments. They're failing everything. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have DEI. So I am concerned that he does this shock and awe where I'm getting rid of DEI. And then we say, oh, it's awful. But we can that our performance shows his side. Yes, there must have really been something going on there because of the way they reacted rather than. So I do think to some degree the things he is going to do, like take away the health care of working class people and low income people, right, through Medicaid, like what he just did on prescription drugs, a lot of fixed income seniors on Medicare. Is it really good for them if they don't have a guaranteed only $2 copay on their drug? And what is the basis of getting rid of that other than he is not representing the people he claims to represent, the big crowd screaming. He represents the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And that's what the tax cuts are about. And that's all he got done in his first term. And it might be the major thing he gets done in his second term. Because even with his attack on birthright citizenship, Earl, even this Supreme Court is going to be hard-pressed to uphold the legality of his action.
You know, Dr. Craig, you've been around a little while. You've been on Capitol Hill. You know, what are your thoughts? What is the, you know, it almost appears as we watch this stuff on television that the Republicans are clearly, man, their feet are off the ground, and Democrats are walking around with their backs bent and their heads bowed. Is that what you see?
To some degree, obviously, it's like, you know, Packers lose a big game, Packer fans are going to be a little bit dispirited. It doesn't mean that they've decided the Packers can never get back to the Super Bowl, right? And so there is talk today where there's a lot of people, a lot of pep talks, right? But people are reminding everyone, as I did via the show, that in 2017, it looked like all was lost and the Affordable Care Act, there was no way to save it. And that wasn't true. It is hard to get things through this government. And they have very narrow majorities, the narrowest majority in the 20th century in the House of Representatives. So they can't lose votes, and they have divisions among themselves because they have a hardcore, even crazier group. I don't know if you call it right or left, on the far end of their spectrum. Right. But there's a lot of gloating, and they're doing an end zone celebration now, but we need to make sure that that's the end of it.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on, we'll come to you. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday, it means Wednesdays, with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Five long years we have been together. Your love and understanding has brought us through stormy weather. I must admit, girl, I haven't always been good, but you stuck by me just like you said you would. Hey, I know that enough is enough, but you shouldn't be talking about giving it up. Turning loose might be right, it seems. The wrong decision will spoil all our dreams.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, you've been at this for a long time. You know, as people feel like they're giving up, there are people who are devastated at the outcome of this election, and they've withdrawn because they fought hard and they knew what after the outcome, it's hard for them to even imagine what is now the reality. What do you say to people, Dr. Craig, after this tough battle that went on, and now people wake up and Republicans are in total control of everything? How do you keep people, especially in Citizen Action, focused on where we need to go next? Because well, if we can hear it from what you say to your colleagues and the people who are involved in Citizen Action, maybe that's the message we need to give to those of us across the nation who feel defeated?
Before I answered that directly, just sometimes individual acts, you know, help inspire all of us. I just want to call out the Episcopal minister.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday, in the National Cathedral, who was holding the inauguration prayer service with Trump and Vance in the front row, and appealed for them to for mercy, said there were gay and lesbian and trans children in Republican, Democratic, independent households who feared for their lives, that there were people throughout the country, young children who feared their parents would be taken away through deportation, and appealed to him for mercy and justice. And she not only was a remarkable act of resistance, she expressed the best in religion, the religion that I believe in, that says that we need to care most about the least among us rather than persecuting them for power and political gain and profit, which is what we're seeing. And we're seeing religion used in service of that. And we saw it Inauguration Day. So I think for Bishop Buttle, which she seems like a very soft-spoken woman, this was probably something very hard for her to do. She was trusted enough to be giving that service. This was clearly out of character, and she felt she was called upon and a moral obligation to stand down the most powerful man in the world and say that to him. And of course, he's fuming and demanding an apology, all of that, because how dare you affront, you know, the great Donald Trump. So I think that can help inspire us. But from a Citizen Action perspective, people who dedicate themselves to organizing and building power, what you come to understand is that there are always going to be setbacks, right? I mean, ending slavery took entirely too long, decade after decade, that the arc of history bends towards justice if we bend it towards justice. And and you can't just lose heart with one setback, right? And there is a lot in public opinion, the public disgust with the status quo, with a country that over the last 50 years has given most of the benefits of economic growth to a few people. That all helped, ironically, elect Donald Trump, because Democrats weren't clear enough, because they're not clear enough all as a whole group in policy this way, that we need to change the economy and intervening it and change the system we have to actually reflect the interest and achieve the interests of average people. And so I think we need to be aware that there is at the moment still a, you know, what's left of a republic, a representative democracy, and that it is possible to defeat Donald Trump like it's been done before. But it can't just be defeat Donald Trump. It has to be to build something new, to have another great era like the New Deal, like the Great Society, where we're making advances. A lot of social progress froze in the 1960s. After the kind of the crash up of Vietnam, right, and the failure to get from civil rights to economic equality, which was Dr. King's final crusade. That's when he was killed during the campaign for a sanitation worker strike in Memphis, a very exploited group of African-American workers in the Deep South. And so I think that we have a lot of unfinished business in this country. But it's possible to get over this, but we first have to resist what he's going to do. But then that resistance has to come lead to a new era of fulfillment, and we have to be prepared for that fight. It's a long hike. It's not just a quick walk in the park.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call as always. I'm going to push back a little bit. You know, I'm really one of those guys that are a little pessimistic on our future. I'm one of those guys that for decades got into the fight and fought a fair fight, an aggressive fight based on truth to power. And what I've watched is the American people just kind of become numb to everything. And if it's too complicated, they shut off and don't take anything back. You know, your guests in the prior hour were talking about the existential threat of, lead pipes and toxic water and that kind of thing. I would expand that. The existential threat to America needs to be called out for what it is, and that is, it's real. All right, the corporate citizens now are overruling we the people. We've seen this in time and time again. You know, the huge disaster that the Republicans did in Iraq in creating these long wars without paying for them. It was a disaster. The pharma opioid disaster. Wall Street bailouts like we've never seen before, including huge gifts and bailouts to pharmaceuticals, only to turn around and just bend us over, you know, the barrel, so to speak, on pricing. And then finally, we just saw last week the food dye issue. Again, a food dye we identified as a problem back in the late 70s.
Yes.
Now they're still going to give these corporate citizens a year and a half to devise a different plan and still inject this poison into our system. You know, again, the corporate citizens now have overruled the American people. And the messaging, in my opinion, instead of demonizing the Dems, which there's plenty to go around, let's call it what it is. It's been taken over. The courts have been taken over, and that's why you're seeing Donald Trump be so bold and aggressive. You know, we had, the last thing I want to say very quickly is we had mandates for health care. We've had mandates for infrastructure. We've had mandates for climate. We've been talking about this for decades. And all of, so Biden comes in there and gets a few of these things done. And one of the first things that happened is all these mandates that we, you and I and the American people put in Joe Biden in order to get the job done. So all of a sudden, they don't matter anymore. So I don't have a very good optimistic view of the future. I wish I did, because I think the American people have turned into mamby-pamby people that don't know how to protest. They don't know how to get their act together and organize and get these elected officials, get them to do the work of the people.
Hey, Mike, hang on a second. Dr. Craig, there's a lot there. You want to respond?
Well, I mean, his concerns are well-founded and his analysis is quite sound. I would say that I think that a liberal or progressive by definition has to have a certain amount of optimism. And that doesn't mean optimism like sit back, everything will go fine and there are cycles in history. No, I mean that it is possible to turn things around. Of course, it's very dispiriting to see with the state of American public opinion in this age of massive disinformation, and now we're going to hand over more control to the techno-industrial complex that President Biden called out. They're now going to have a no content moderation. This all happened with whatever they called content moderation, but it's their monopoly over information and the terms of information. Is going to get worse in the short term. One piece of hope I would try to give to the caller is, there's been very good research on nonviolent movements of civil resistance that built, restored democracy, overturned authoritarian or quasi-authoritarian regimes. And you actually statistically only need about 2.5% of the public actively involved in order to achieve it. So it's too big a question to say that we're going to transform the whole American electorate all at once, but it is completely, and this is data over the last 100 years, doable if a small but significant part. That's a lot of people, right? 2.5% of the American population is millions of people, but it is possible to change it without getting everyone all at once that you're seeing on Facebook buying into a lot of this stuff. And so but frankly, there, of course, we will lose if there is no civil resistance whatsoever, or movement then after that to accomplish something. Then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Are we guaranteed victory if we organize? No, it's the only way we could have victory. And it's a moral obligation to do it because, frankly, morality is about doing whatever you can to create a just society, right? So I think people need to figure out how to recharge themselves and continue the fight, but we got to fight smart. And so we need to be very clear on what we need to stop and what we need to build.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said and then some. But the problem we've got today is we have a media that has no relationship with truth to power, none whatsoever. So, the American people turn into a bobblehead. They just go, oh, yeah, okay. And because the messaging is so murky and screwed up and, it's spinning our minds around in circles. It's not doing us any good. So until the American people get it that we have the power, and we do, and I talk about that all the time on the show, until we take the reins and citizens' action, all we're going to do is waste our time like we have over the last 20 years because we're not paying attention.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. As always, Dr. Craig, hang on. We'll certainly come to our listeners on the other side, 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. He's on Capitol Hill fighting the good fight already. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is here. And Dr. Craig, I understand how people have given up for the time being. You look on television and you see the beatings that those law enforcement people withstood on the Capitol grounds. And our lying eyes didn't deceive us, Dr. Craig. We see that injustice. And a person who is the president of the United States, none of us would have ever believed that we would have come to a point where that person, the president of the United States, would say, all of these people are freed. Regardless of what they did, and be proud about it.
Well, I think because our theme has really been How do we keep going? How do we maintain hope? Right. I don't think we can be fair weather citizens, fair weather activists, or fair weather organizers. That is to say, times like this call all upon us to do more and to be more effective. This is the time that, and maybe there'll be a clearing out. Some people won't have the heart for it, but we need the people who will have the heart for it to carry on this fight. So I actually think that the pardons, as shocking and disgusting as they are, and I don't know if you saw Earl Ron Johnson trying to evade questions.
Yeah, I reached out to him to get him on, but go ahead.
Yeah, so none of the Senate Republicans, your Rick Scotts, want to answer this question. Kevin Kramer's want to answer this question, Ron Johnson. So it's inconvenient. They're hoping they want to turn away from it. Oh, don't, let's not talk about that. I think this was done as soon as the Supreme Court the Trump-packed Supreme Court gave Donald Trump immunity. Because if the mastermind and the perpetrator and the instigator of the crimes is immune, then it makes sense that the people who did it at his behest, at his command, would be immune, right? This flows directly from what this fake Supreme Court did. Fake because they're politicians in robes. This has nothing to do with their decision. That is the decision that is the Dred Scott level decision, i.e. no basis in law, right? Because the founders of this country were very worried about kings and did everything to prevent one and to make the president just a normal human being subject to the same laws. They had no script, no textual basis for this, no historical basis. They made it up to protect their guy. And we need to be, the problem we've had is, and we have this at the state level as well, Earl, is that we have leaders in the Democracy Coalition, which is what the Democratic Party has become. It's broad, it doesn't agree on everything in terms of policy, but agrees we should have a democracy, won't do what's necessary. President Biden never thought that we should add Supreme Court justices. It is not a set number in the Constitution. The president's power to add them is one of the checks on a runaway Supreme Court. He wouldn't do it, right? We've had the same in the state where Governor Evers, the first three budgets, has refused to actually fight with Republicans and has signed their budgets with some changes vetoed out by him, rather than having a budget fight, having an impasse. We're going to need that this time because our schools are criminally underfunded. Our public schools are, not the voucher schools. And we're not doing shared revenue. People can't afford childcare. Look at the climate crisis, Earl. The most significant thing the president did, and this is much more significant than pardoning some Proud Boys, and as bad as that is, he pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords.
Right.
We have 5 years to cut emissions in half. They went down 0.02% last year in the United States, and we have record carbon in the atmosphere, according to the international readings. They're done at the top of a big mountain in Hawaii. They've been done since the 1950s. It now falls to state leaders. So will Governor Evers make sure Wisconsin cuts emissions in half in 5 years? Will he make sure we expand Badger Care and that we actually save the money in case the Republicans cut money out of Badger Care, Medicaid, so we can keep funding it, right? Will he fund our public schools and will he fight for that? So I think we're at a moment of consequences. They're willing to go all out to grab every piece of power to defend democracy. We need to be able to do the same thing. And that includes everyone within my voice leaning into their own agency to do what they can. We need good citizens now more than ever. It's easy to be a good citizen when we're winning and we're making gains. It's harder in a situation like this.
Dr. Craig, very well said. Thank you very much, as always. Keep up the good fight.
You too, Earl. And let us
know how it goes. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'm sorry I couldn't get to you guys on the line. We'll be back on tomorrow. Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on air. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.